This week, we explore the latest and most pressing challenges emerging for investors who have embraced auto trading. As automation revolutionizes the financial markets, traders find themselves navigating uncharted psychological territory, from trusting bots and algorithms, coping with reduced decision-making control, and the novel complexities of auto trading that demand a new style of adaptation and resilience. Now, with help from our team, I'll peel back the proverbial onion on the evolving mindset of options traders and shed some light on these new psychological challenges that are popping up.
You're listening to the Option Alpha podcast from OptionAlpha.com, where we show you how to make smarter trades, learn how the stock market really works, and generate consistent monthly income. Now, your host and head trader at OptionAlpha.com, Kirk Duplessis.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk here again from Option Alpha, working every single week to make this the most popular investing podcast offered online because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's helping you consistently place smarter trades. So again, thank you so much for tuning in today and welcome back to our recent episode, show number 231, where we're going to be going through 10 new trading psychology challenges that are emerging from auto trading. And this one's going to be a really fun one. It's kind of came to me here recently, and so I got the team together. We kind of put some stuff on paper and shared some ideas and notes and came up with these 10 psychological challenges that we really believe are new challenges, maybe new shifts or versions of existing trading psychology syndromes or disorders or challenges that traders have, but really have started to manifest themselves as a result of this new era and paradigm that we find ourselves in for auto trading. Now, before we get into today's podcast, if you haven't already, please go back one episode and please listen to show 230, which talked about the evolutionary perspective on why auto trading will dominate, because that will set a great foundation for why today's discussion is so important. You'll learn some really important things in there about the future of auto trading and some of the challenges, which will again be really important as we start to go through today's episode. So if you haven't listened to show number 230, which was the very last episode before this one in your podcast app, go back there, listen to that one, and come right back here and join us again. Okay, so we have 10 new trading psychology challenges that have emerged from auto trading. I'm going to go through them. They're not in any particular order because they all kind of are on their own and make sense, but I want to give you lots of examples for each of these, how you overcome some of these or some strategies you can use. And then before we get started, I just want you guys to know that I personally suffer from a lot of these. I will talk about these as I go through here. I think auto trading is not something that comes super, super easy. I think that everyone, because we are human, because we are flawed, because we know we have biases and we have personal experiences, we know that we're going to suffer from some of these. Some of you may hit all the boxes and be like, yes, that is me across the board. Some of you might not hit many of these, but I guarantee you will hit some of these because I do, and I will call them out and talk about them. I'm sure I've hit all of these at some point for sure in my journey, and I've done a better job at coping with some versus others, but some still really kind of affect me, and I have to deal with that and try to emotionally and psychologically get through some of those as I continue on this journey that I'm personally on for auto trading. So I want to go through these. Again, they're not any particular order, but you can get a list of these when you go to the show notes page if you need to at the end of this episode, optionalpha.com/show231. Again, that's just the number 231, optionalpha.com/show231. All right, so number one on the list here is OCO. And OCO stands for obsessive compulsive overriding. Now, if you're familiar with Option Alpha, you always have the ability to override positions that you are in, whether you got into them manually or automated, you always have full and ultimate control. And what this has eventually led to, and I think this will continue to be potentially one of the biggest sources of psychological friction or just even trading friction for people as they transition to auto trading, is the obsessive compulsive need to override and interfere with your trades. So really for us, what this one means is that you are basically over interfering and interjecting your manual changes all the time. And you're not actually giving the bot that you create, the beautiful bot that you build and the automations that you put together, you're not giving it enough time to work itself out and go through all of the different processes that it needs to go through. You actually kind of almost need the bot to kind of trip and fall on itself a little bit so that you can improve the process while still keeping it automated. And so what this ends up being is this ends up being this truly obsessive compulsive behavior to interject yourself at every little thing that goes wrong or something that happens, or you just think you have a better insight on something. So you interject, you override a trade, you change something up, you exit a position early, you turn something off midstream. Essentially, you just keep messing with it and you don't give it a chance to develop on its own to a certain degree where you need to learn as a trader now who's auto trading that you need to learn how to improve the system in an automated fashion versus you feeling like you have to be the one to manually come in there and save the day. And many times it doesn't actually work, right? Like we've seen this in the community where people will say, well, I interjected and I started doing this because I thought I would know better. And now I should just let the bot do what it needs to do. Actually, Jack, my partner and founder of Option Alpha 2 with me, he did a really good job of this on a recent trade ideas video where he went through and he was like, look, I totaled up all of the trades that I did where I exited positions early instead of letting the bot take the position out and my predefined target, the target that I knew that I had in place. Instead, I interjected and here's what would have happened if I would have done nothing, like not interject and just let the bot work, and it would have been better. Now, that's not always going to be the case, of course, right? And you're going to find those instances where, aha, I knew it and I took the position off or I closed it early and the market turned and I'm really smart. But that's not the goal of auto trading. Like this is what I try to get through to a lot of people in email and sometimes when we talk to people is like, the goal of auto trading is not to have you do this. Like if you are here because you believe that auto trading is the future and you listen to the last show, to number 30, and we know it's going to dominate in the future anyway, it's already starting to do that, then you know you have to learn to improve the system in an automated fashion because you can't be the bottleneck. You can't be the person who has to come in and ride and save the day because that only lasts so long. And generally, that just gets back to the whole other side of being a manual trader, which we're trying to avoid because we all have too much emotional baggage anyway. We don't trade data-driven anyway. So this is the whole point, is not to obsessively override positions and interject into positions. So think about that. Like think about how are you interfering and interjecting yourself in a process that needs to be automated. Now, this is not to say that you can't make changes or you shouldn't adapt or change your bots. And we'll talk about those in podcasts and videos as we keep going, but you should not be coming in and messing with your trades. You need to let them play out. I'll use one quick analogy here because I think it's very relevant and I think it helps prove the point. Whether this is long-winded or not, doesn't really matter. I'm recording the podcast, so I hope it helps. But two of my kids were trying to learn how to ride bikes this summer. And they were a little bit late to the game because where we live in town has a very small sidewalk in the front. We live on a busy street, so there's not a lot of room to ride a bike anyway, right? But they wanted to learn to ride a bike. And so we had a little bit of space and I would kind of coax them along and hold them there. And then at some points, once they got a little bit better at balancing, I would take my hand off the seat as I was running next to them and trying to hold them up, whatever. And I would kind of let them wibble and wobble. And sometimes if they were going slow enough, I didn't let them crash, but they would kind of fall over and, you know, kind of fall into the grass or fall on the sidewalk going slow, or they just needed to feel those boundaries. And I think sometimes what we do as traders, especially I know I do this too with my bots and trades, is like, I feel like the bot is my child and I'm trying to like give this bot some direction. It's given some freedom, like, hey, you can enter positions, but then I kind of come in and I try to hold it up and I don't let it kind of wobble and fall on its own power. But that's exactly what we need to do, is we need to let our bots, if they're going to automatically trade bad trades, we need to sometimes let them trade bad trades, see what the results are going to be, analyze them, then make adjustments, then turn them back on. Instead of auto trading, but then interjecting yourself manually throughout the process, which doesn't really give you good results. You don't really know what the bot is doing because you manually took actions on 15 of the last 30 trades. Like, that's not really what auto trading is. And you can't really legitimately analyze the performance of that bot because it was half bot, half you. And that just doesn't really scale too well. Okay, number two, strategy straitjacketing. So this is one, I looked it up. Straitjacket is a word, but straitjacketing, I didn't know if it was a word, didn't really see if it was officially a word, so we're going to make it up. But strategy straitjacketing, this one is, I would say, doesn't run rampant, but the people who fall victim to this type of mentality go to an extreme degree. Now, I will self-proclaim that for one of my bots, the Hexabot, I did go a little strategy straitjacketing, and there's definitely room for improvement, which I will do. And I will start to pare things back. That's what I've done with some of the other bots. As we've released new tools and new features, I've pared them back and simplified them. And as I learn more, I will continue to peel things away that are overkill. But strategy straitjacketing is basically this idea of over-engineering everything in the bot, and you do it to such a degree that it kills the core concept. I think in my case for the Hexabot, a lot of my strategy straitjacketing was around the market direction and opportunity filters and pre-entry filters and things like that, that maybe would have been overkill, that maybe a couple things could have effectively accomplished without having to check 22 things. But I think what some people do is I've seen these bots because they will send in their bot to support, or they'll post it and say, I don't know what's working, or I don't know what's happening, or whatever. And you open up these automations, and they're so large that on the zoomed out version, you can barely see even just a fraction of it. And so you have these bots that make 9,000 checks before they open a trade. I mean, sometimes literally thousands and thousands of checks before they open a trade. Some bots make so many checks that for that person, it takes like a minute to run their bot. And you talk about bots that are running super, super fast, like snap of a finger fast through entire automations, full list of bots. But because they have so many if, then, this, that, that's, this, who, like what, whatever checks in there, it's just over-engineering it. And the reason I use the term straitjacketing is because you're holding it back. You're literally over-engineering it to do nothing. And so people say, well, I'm doing all these checks. I'm checking for 42 different thousand indicators, and I'm doing all these checks, and it's not opening a position. Well, of course it's not opening a position. You're asking it to check everything under the sun before it takes even the slightest step forward. So I feel like that's a new thing now, is like with this new technology at your fingertips to allow a bot to check lots of decisions and lots of indicators and lots of data points, there's now a new desire, a new anxiety that you have to check 9,000 things before you let it continue. Because why not? Like, why would I only check one thing or two things when I can check 9,000 things? And so that's where this strategy straitjacketing comes in, is you're putting too much into this, that you're prohibiting any free movement of your strategy. And it's ultimately causing you not to do the thing that you want to do, which is to actually trade. Okay, number three. This one's a really fun one too, by the way. And I 100% fell victim to this early on. I think I've done a good job. I'll self-assess myself as we go here. I did fall victim to this early on for sure. And I think I've done a much better job of setting and forgetting. I think also the fact that I'm super busy and doing stuff also helps out. So it made it easier because I'm super busy anyway. But number three is the current events fallacy. I love this one. This is the idea that in the moment, as the week and days are progressing, in the moment, you know the context of the market better than some stupid bot. So you step in and you do something. You change it. Now, this is different from the OCO, where you're obsessive compulsive overriding. This is the current events. Like today, the Fed is speaking. And so for today only, I'm going to turn off my scanners. Or the CPI number is coming out tomorrow, and everyone assumes it's going to be higher than expected, lower than expected. Pick your poison. And so I'm going to do something. I'm going to close all my positions. I'm going to unwind my neutral positions. I'm going to enter a hedge. I'm going to do this. Current events fallacy that we have is literally degrading the performance of our bots. Like people stopping scanners, right? Or turning on extra scanners or removing positions. You got to cut it out. Either build it into your bot or figure out a way for your strategy to work around those environments. Or what I said to one person in the community, and I couldn't find the post for the show notes, but if I do, I'll put it in there. But I told one person, like, if your strategy is so heavily dependent on navigating this one environment or this thing that happens four times a year or five times a year, if it's so dependent on the outcome of this, it is not a good strategy. There's no resilience in that strategy that you should rely on, right? And that's what I feel like personally is like, if I think that I know better, A, I don't know better. B, I have no idea what the market reaction is going to be to anything. I don't think anybody's ever correctly predicted it consistently forever. So I know that that's the case. But then the last thing is like, see, for me, if I have a strategy that's so reliant on me getting this one anomaly event or current event right, then my strategy is not resilient enough to stand the test of time. I need bot strategies for me personally that trade through all environments, that trade through Fed, CPI, earnings, bad earnings, good earnings, presidents, no presidents, whatever. Like it needs to trade through all of those events. And I need to build bots that think about those things. Now, you can avoid earnings, you can avoid Fed meetings, you can avoid CPI, you can avoid all those things inside of Option Alpha. But the idea here is that you're stepping in during this current event fallacy thinking you know better. So somebody has a trade and they have a trade on and maybe it's, I don't know, a Tesla trade or something. And there's going to be a big announcement from Tesla next week. So they step in and they do something and they just think, well, my bot was built to do this. But my bot really didn't consider the fact that XYZ event was today. So I'm going to step in and I'm going to do something. And I just, that fallacy, I think more often than not is going to hurt you. Okay, number four, sweeping conclusion anxiety. So this is another very fun one and one that is rampant across the entire platform. I will tell you right now, if there is anything that is more rampant across this platform right now for traders coming in, new traders and auto trading, I would even just say traders in general. So for honestly, for this one, forget auto trading. This runs rampant everywhere. Sweeping conclusion and anxiety. And this one is basically a low outcome count that has an expectation mismatch for future expectation. So you make this sweeping conclusion based on a very small, limited, highly narrow sample size. And then what you do is you have this anxiety and you get all anxious about what that sweeping conclusion is going to be. So you turn off your bots or you overallocate. You do one or the other. You don't just let it ride. Nobody lets it ride. Nobody with sweeping conclusion anxiety lets it ride and does nothing, which ultimately is what you have to do. They either turn it off or they overallocate. So here's an example. Somebody has a bot or posted the performance of a bot. And you can see this all over the community, by the way. You can pretty much almost randomly pick a thread and see an example of this. And they say, my bot's not working, or my bot is great, or this is my top performing bot, or this is such a great bot, I love it, or this bot sucks, it's so terrible. Like either extreme. And they see the performance of their bot, and it's from 10 trades, as an example. It could be 11, could be 12, could be 20, could be 30, could be whatever. But some low number of trades. And they make a sweeping conclusion about that bot, that template, that person who created the bot, the strategy, the environment, the indicators they were using, you name it. They make sweeping conclusions about it. So if they have 10 trades and they're all profitable, bingo, now they have reached nirvana with their bot trading and they overallocate and go the opposite direction. Or more notably, what people do is they have 10 trades and they're all losers. Now everything sucks. Everything is a scam. The bot doesn't work. The platform doesn't work. The market's rigged. The performance is rigged. SPY is rigged. Whatever. These things don't work. They project the results of a small sample size as if it was thousands and thousands and thousands of trades in thousands of environments and thousands of setups and thousands of conditions. It's just not the case. And so they have anxiety that the 10 trades didn't work, so the bot doesn't work, so I have to turn it off. Or the 10 trades does work, so the bot is a gold mine, and I have to overallocate now because this opportunity is here and gone, right? And like, if I don't make money while the sun's shining, then it's gone, right? And so that's the anxiety part, is that they make these sweeping conclusions and then almost in a bipolar nature, do one or the other extreme as a result of these sweeping conclusions and the mismatched expectation moving forward. Okay, number five. The SOS freeze. So this one's a fun one too. SOS stands for shiny object syndrome. And then I added to this the freeze part, because I think this is a two-part psychological issue that creeps up with traders. I personally have dealt with this one a lot. So I will 100% be honest that I'm telling you guys, this one for me is definitely probably the one that I suffer from the most, that I need to get over personally the most. So here's what SOS freeze is. SOS freeze is shiny object syndrome. They see other bots and templates that they want to use. So I'll say me, like I see other bots and templates I want to use. We see the leaderboard. I see what other people post, right? And so as a result of seeing all of these things that other people post and all the success that they have, I have shiny object syndrome, which means I want to do what they're doing. I want to trade what they trade. I want to learn what their style is. I want to learn how they're doing it. I want to trade their stuff. And I see all the templates in there and I clone a lot of them and I start to dig into them. And ultimately what ends up happening a lot of the time, and this is where the freeze part comes in, is that you freeze up and you don't do anything at all or don't even get started. And I do this too. So I've cloned a lot of templates. I've cloned bot templates that really I should have been running from day one because they were good bot templates. But I froze up thinking that I didn't have the ability or confidence to run those different strategies. Now, for me, I think this also comes partly to the fact that I want to fully understand what the strategy is doing. And if I don't have the ability to fully understand it or the write-up of the bot template or the questions that were asked, or you know, I don't know if somebody considered something that makes me feel like I can't trust that template, but maybe I can and maybe I should. Maybe I should try with a small amount of capital and go from there and put some money and skin in the game and then start to pay attention and start to evolve the strategy to fit my own parameters, right? But I think this is a real tough one because we are all seeing different success that people have or different ways that they're doing it. And we like that and we want that, but then we freeze up and don't do anything. So here's what I would suggest doing, because I've done this myself now, started doing this a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, but doing it even better now, I guess you could say. Clone templates, start running them in paper trading with changes. I think for me, that's the biggest thing. I need to change something that fits my personal style because I don't necessarily subscribe to the idea of blindly cloning and running templates. I need to change them to fit my own personal style. So take some time to clone templates, run them differently, like even making some slight changes or tweaks. And I think just that momentum gets the ball rolling downhill. And then you start to get some more ownership in the new changes and how you're doing it. And for me personally, that's how I get myself moving forward. And I unfreeze or I thaw myself out of this mode of liking what someone is doing, but feeling like I can't do anything. So that's what I've done. So clone templates, make changes, then start running them paper trading to start testing your hypothesis and your ideas. Okay, number six. This one's, they're all so fun, okay? Bot scapegoating. Oh my Lord, this one I feel like is such an easy one to fall into, but if you really think about it, it is so ridiculous that people do this. And I know why they do it, because it's easy to do. So now that we have bots, and now that we have the ability to name bots and give them a little icon or a little description, right? We become playful with them. Like we call them things like the Hexabot, or some people call them the Death Star or whatever, you know, whatever you name it a character or a thing, it's personifying this computer program that you basically put together. Because that's all a bot is. It's just a computer program that runs automatically. And you're personifying it. So what happens with bot scapegoating is you end up blaming the bot. And we see this all the time. That's why I try to change people's words when they say, the bot didn't work. And I'm like, what, you mean your bot didn't work? The bot that you built, that you turned on, that you put together. And so bot scapegoating is interesting because when you blame the bot, you're actually blaming yourself from like the third person view. You are the bots. You are ultimately responsible for what they do because you have total control. You can adjust, edit, change, swap, turn off, turn on. You have total visibility into the logs and the data and everything. These bots are not independent beings that think by themselves. These bots are programmed by you, the trader. They are under your control. They're not Skynet yet. So when you blame a bot, blame the bot for doing something, it's like a weird psychological way of blaming yourself, but without having to tell yourself that your strategy isn't up to par, or you didn't think about something, or you didn't account for some environment. But here's the thing, you have to stop doing this. It is not going to serve you at all to bot scapegoat yourself or anybody else for that matter, to bot scapegoat yourself or anybody who builds a bot, because you are in control. And so one of the pillars that we believe here at Option Alpha is that you have ultimate control, and this growth mindset around ownership is so important. Even when it comes to trading, you have to take ownership in that. You have to take ownership in the fact that if you turn a bot on, you are ready to go. And it's not the bot's problem. It is your problem because you are the commander of that bot. And so be just cognizant of the words you use here, as I would say my biggest piece of advice. Do not use words like the bot broke, the bot failed, the bot didn't do something, because the bots will run. They will check data. They will go through things and they will do what you tell them to do. It's just, did your strategy fail? Did you not account for some environment? Did you not think that something was possible, or did you not consider something? And if you actually take a moment to take that ownership of what you're doing, I think you actually find more confidence eventually that you can solve that problem and get to the next one and start to evolve your strategy. Okay, number 7, feature creep. This one is obsessive. It will never end. So I know that this one will never end. I've come to a certain understanding that this one will never end. And I too have fallen victim to this one too myself. Okay. So it's very easy actually for me and everybody else on our team to fall victim to this one all the time. And feature creep is this obsessive assumption that complication versus simplicity is needed, or that the expectation is that you'll be profitable if something else was made available. And so when you layer these on top of one another, what you get is you get this type of mentality where somebody says, well, only if XYZ ticker was available, or only if we could check this one indicator, I would then be profitable. Like, doing that one thing is the difference between night and day. And I'm telling you, it is not. There are people who are running lots and lots of profitable strategies across so many different industries and paradigms and days to expiration and everything. You can't possibly tell me that one thing or two things or three things or whatever is the difference maker between profitability and not. It's not. And I challenge people all the time on this. You really can't give me a good explanation for this because it's not. There's always something new that was like, well, if we had this, then we would be profitable because we could do this extra complicated thing. But it doesn't have to be extra complicated. Why can't it be ultra simplistic with a couple little tweaks and variations that you improve on? And then you scale from there and you leverage the power of compounding, right? I see this, that, you know, a couple examples of this. People used to say back in the day when you had to trade on your phone, used to say, well, like, I can't even see the Greeks. I just know the prices. So if I only saw the Greeks, then I would be profitable. Well, now you can see the Greeks for everything. So that doesn't mean that people are more profitable because now they can see the Greeks. And then you have people who are like, well, if I only saw open interest, or if I only could calculate some crazy volume weighted thing of open interest for legs that are out of the money by more than 10%, but RSI is high and CCI is low and the Fed isn't speaking, then I would be profitable. It's just not the case. So this feature creep is really destroying your ability to move forward. If new features get released, integrate them. But build strategies based on what is available right now, knowing that new things will come in the future. But you can't obsessively wait for new things, because that's all you're going to do, is you're going to wait for the new thing and the new thing and the new thing that comes out. Like, right now, I think the newest thing, just, this is not in trading, but generally, is AI. So everyone's waiting for, like, well, what is AI going to do? But what if you have to wait 10 years to see what it really does? You just missed 10 years. You just missed 10 years of opportunity. So stop with the feature creep. Number 8, emotional hedging. Now, this actually comes in the form of emotional, mental hedging, but it also manifests itself in physical trades. And here's how it works out. Rather than letting the trade play out, maybe an automated trade that your bot is doing, you hedge your own bot position manually just to see the overall profit from all of your trades get evaporated. And it was at the expense of just some emotional comfort. So it kind of manifests like this. I'm going to let this bot play out. And I've had people tell me this in email. Kirk, I'm going to try Option Alpha. I'm going to try auto trading. But, you know, I'm still going to do the regular trading that I'm going to do just as a hedge. Or I'm going to try this bot trade, but then I'm going to do the opposite trade just in case. Just in case something happens, you know, because those crazy bots, right? The bot scapegoating, like, those bots are just thinking by themselves. They're just randomly picking stuff. I got no control over them. They're wild. And so what you end up doing is you end up hedging your own position. And maybe you do so at a really bad price or really bad entry or whatever. And the total summation of all of your emotional hedging that you did eventually kills your own self-confidence. It really does. Because if the bot loses, then you're like, ah, see, I told you, automated trading doesn't work, right? Does anybody know what that is? That's a sweeping conclusion anxiety, right? You take one trade or a series of trades and project them like they were 1,000 results or 10,000 results. And then if it wins, if the bot wins and your hedge lost, then you second guess yourself on that end also because you're like, well, crap, this thing that is auto trading did better than me and I'm a terrible trader because I tried to hedge it and the hedge didn't work. And so you do this all the time. Now, this, again, manifests itself not only in physical trades, like the example I just gave, and I've seen people do this. I've witnessed so many people do like, why did you do that? And they're like, I was just hedging my, you know, I was hedging a bot position, or they'll take opposing positions in another bot. But it also does manifest itself emotionally sometimes, where you will emotionally hedge by saying things to yourself like, this money doesn't matter. Like, that is one that kills you. Like, there's no way you can move forward if you say to yourself, well, I'm just going to play with this money. And there's nothing wrong with trying something out and putting, like people say, like, I'm going to put 3,000 in and see what happens. Well, okay, but are you really going to give it a good go? Or are you just pre-emotionally hedging all the bad decisions that you look to make by saying to yourself, well, this money doesn't matter? Now, to me, money matters. It does matter. $3,000, $100, $50, it adds up. I'm the type of person that money matters. I don't have money that doesn't matter money. That doesn't exist to me. And it shouldn't for you. So if you put something in, you should be fully committed to it and don't emotionally hedge yourself out by saying, well, that's money that just doesn't matter. Or I'm not really going to, like, if I lose that money, I'll be okay. That might be the reality, but you shouldn't emotionally or psychologically go into trading like that because then you're going to lose. You're going to get exactly what you expected. All right, number 9, version control disorder. Version control disorder is something that we are starting to see more and more in the community. Now, I want to be careful with this one because this is not to say that you shouldn't improve and release and update your bot templates that you have. But I do think that for some cases, it is going to an extreme. And the extreme that it's going to is now hurting the ability for other people to believe that they also can manage a template of bots or some updates of bots, etc. So version control disorder is basically this, that you have a bot and it takes one losing trade, and sometimes literally one losing trade. One losing trade for some random, crazy situation, and you immediately update the bot to a new version. Now, you could share this in the community, or you could just do this to your own bot. Now, because we can see like the logs of what people are doing, like I know and we know that people update their bots a lot. Rarely do people actually let their bots trade through many, many market environments without an update, which is potentially what you should be doing. You should be doing more of that instead of update, 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 update. And so the frequency of updates and the span between updates is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Maybe with new features that get released, there's a bulk of updates, but generally people just touch it too much. You're just touchy-touchy with your bots and you're doing that overkill stuff. But in the version control disorder, you're basically doing new versions for one-off random events. So when something happens, you might say like to yourself, like, okay, well, this weird situation happened that hardly ever happens, may not even ever happen in the future. The likelihood of it happening is almost zero, but I'm going to update a new version to version 462 because I want to account for this thing. And so that like type of need or disorder to update for all things that have ever happened before in the past, I don't think is helpful or beneficial to you moving forward. In fact, I believe it's very harmful to you. You have to account for the fact that some things are unexpected and will just be unexpected. And they might pass through. And that's it. That's how you should think about them. Like, whoa, that was a weird event. But guess what? We're through that. I don't really expect it. It's not something that I think is going to change dramatically in the future. We might get more of those or different ones. You got to let those pass through. And I can tell you honestly that I think a lot of that is accounted for. If you want to say accounted for, it's accounted for in small position size, diversified symbols, not being one directional, don't be omnidirectional with your trading. Like you do some of those things. Small position size, large cash balance, diversified tickers, don't be omnidirectional, which means don't trade one direction on all the things. You account for most of that control. You can hedge out that risk just with the construct of your portfolio. But this version control disorder, this need to update based on every trade that happens, is not beneficial for you. Make an update based on sound analysis and judgment, backtesting, research, whatever you do. Let the bot work. Get some data, lots of data, right? As much data as you can handle. Then reassess. I would say a good target might be 6 months or 3 months, but it shouldn't be a week. It shouldn't be a week of like, well, it's ran for a week, so let's update it. It's too short. Anything can happen in a week, good, bad, or indifferent. All right, number 10, identity panic disorder. This is the last one here. It's a really important one. This one I actually did save for the end because I personally have fallen victim to this. I still fall victim to this, just so you guys know. I'm just being truthful with you. I think a lot of people do, and I'm telling you, this is something you got to overcome, myself included. I'm speaking right to myself here too on this. Identity panic disorder comes in two forms. One, the bot you created and the bot you named does not work, and so you panic. Now look, I have a lot of this because I'm doing this podcast, co-founding this platform. I put out a lot of bots. I put a lot of stuff out there. And so if it doesn't work and some things aren't going to work, that is personally identity tied to me. So it's a reflection of me. And then I feel like, well, that didn't work. I don't work, or I shouldn't be doing this, or you have imposter syndrome, or all these other things creep in. And so it's very hard. And I know this because I share bot templates too, but it's very hard to share your bot template, even though it's what the entire community needs. We need more people sharing templates, myself included, of different ideas and different ways of going about it, because ultimately some things are going to work and some things are not. But nothing will work if we all don't share anything. If we all just sit on our hands and don't do anything and never talk to each other, never communicate, never realize that some things are going to work and some don't, nothing will work. So the value of sharing is more important than the value of sitting on your hands and not doing anything. But that identity panic disorder comes in the form of the thing you created, your manifestation that you shared doesn't work. Or, and this is the other or, and this one is a tough one, I equally am currently going through this right now with one of my bot templates. Or the bot template that you created or the bot you created for a particular outcome now needs to be changed for a new outcome or a new set of market data that you've realized, but you refuse to adjust it. There's almost this endowment effect that happens, right? So for example, if you released a bot template, and I'm not saying anybody did, this is just an example one, okay? You released a bot template that was like Tesla bear bounce bot template. Well, that's highly specific, and you know the bot template was designed to try and take advantage of a Tesla bear bounce with some type of strategy. But what if now what you need to do is you need to update that template or update that bot, and it now needs to be a Tesla bear neutral bounce template or something, you know, I don't know, whatever, something that changes the strategy. And on some psychological level, we feel like, well, and this is the conversation you have in your subconscious, or you don't have it verbally, but you kind of hear it in your mind, where you start thinking to yourself, well, I released this template and the goal of the strategy was this. So I'm kind of pigeonholed into like, that's still the goal of the strategy. I got to figure out a way to do it. And then so you don't do anything. So you get back to freezing. So let me give you another example of this to help kind of prove the point. And I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but this just came up literally in the last day, truly in the last day. So at the time that I'm recording this podcast, I just released a video. It's on YouTube. It's in the community about the new portfolio analyzer. If you haven't seen the new portfolio analyzer, it's super cool. But one of the things I was going through in the video is I was going through some of the performance of live trades that I've done in the Hexabots. And the Hexabot was truly a labor of love bot that I wanted to build. It's a concept strategy that I've wanted to do for a long time where it trades six distinct market environments, giving it the name Hexabot. And one of those market environments is a strong uptrend. Not an uptrend, not a weak uptrend, a strong uptrend. Well, currently, the strong uptrend performance, because I can look at this now based on tags and I can basically split the data apart inside the portfolio analyzer, all of my bad performance on the Hexabot has come in strong uptrend markets. Now, there's a lot of trades in there. There's not thousands of trades in that strong uptrend market, but it's now had me started to think, wait a second, do I need to cut out the strong uptrend market? Do I need to have my Hexabot lose one of its six market environments that it would trade because that's what's contributing to all the losing trades, at least so far this year, year to date? The losing trades in Hexabot have been contributed mostly in strong uptrend markets, even though I'm trading short put spreads, which, you know, in theory, and this is why I haven't dug into it enough yet to know, but I'm just sharing this on the podcast. But in theory, that should be the trade that I should be getting into. So now I'm very conflicted. I'm like, what is going on? I'm starting to panic. Like, why does this not work? Why is this doing the thing that I, you know, if the market's moving up and I'm trading a short put spread, I should theoretically, that should be the perfect trade for this environment, right? And so now I have this identity crisis or identity panic disorder over the Hexabot that I built. And the reason that it exists is to trade six markets. What if it only can trade five now? Shit, now we got to change the name to it or whatever. You know, like, it's so stupid, actually. And now that I actually verbally say it and talk through with you guys on this podcast, it actually sounds so crazy when you think about it. But it is like something that I go through of like thinking like, how come it's not working? And can I make it fit? Do I need to make it fit? Whatever. Now, I don't know. Again, please don't email me and say like, why is the Hexabot still the Hexabot, or why did it change, or why didn't it change? Or why? I don't know yet. I'm still digging into it. This is just anecdotally, I've looked at these tags, and this is something that jumped out. Is like, in strong uptrends, the Hexabot has not done well, and I need to figure out why. But there's also this part of me that's going like, well, I don't even know if I want to update it, you know, even though it's going to be updated for sure. But even I don't know if I want to update it because it's the Hexabot. It's the thing that it's meant to trade six environments. So, and there's this identity crisis with a lot of people, you know, have used that as the idea, as the basis for bots that they run. And so there's part of that in there too. It's like, what else is in there that, you know, I could have improved on, or I should improve on, or how do I improve that moving forward? Okay. So all that being said, we just went through 10 brand new trading psychology challenges. I hope you really enjoyed this. I know that this was not, and I hope that all of our podcasts are like this, but I hope this was not an anticipated or conventional podcast. And I hope that it truly made you think critically about how you are approaching trading, some of the mental and psychological thoughts that you've had, and the emotions that you felt around trading, particularly auto trading, and how you might get around those. I think for me personally, identifying some of these and knowing that you're doing this and being self-aware with your emotions, and anytime you feel anxious or feel nervous or fearful or stressed or whatever, that's a trigger. That's a trigger for you to dig a little bit deeper and to try to figure out like, what is causing this? What am I trying to do? What am I trying to now take control of that I don't feel like I can release control of? And throughout all this, I would encourage you to really try to figure out the ways in which you can improve your own trading, but also to politely, and I say this truly, to politely encourage other traders in the community. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be cut downish. I don't even know if that's a word, but you can't belittle somebody. But if you see somebody that is suffering from one of these in the community, please send them a link back to this podcast. Help them out. Say, hey, look, you might be suffering from bot scapegoating, or you might be suffering from the sweeping conclusion anxiety. I used to suffer from it before too, and here's how I got over it. Like, help each other out in the community, because it's so critical that we all move forward with the same mindset. You know, like, this community is a mass of collective consciousness and mindset. And if we don't move forward as a community with the same mindset, then we will not continue to make progress. So help each other out, because you are important. The things you do in there, the way you say it, how you say it is critical. Don't be so judgmental with other people. Be free to share your ideas, your strategies, and to learn from one another. So I hope this was really helpful today. Again, you can get all of the resources that we have over at optionalpha.com/show231. Again, that's just the number 231. optionalpha.com/show231.
Thanks for listening to the Option Alpha podcast. If you liked what you heard, please drop by iTunes and leave a rating or comment. Plus, you can get everything: free email updates for future shows, transcripts, video tutorials, case studies, and more. Just visit our website at optionalpha.com.
All right, that's a wrap for this week's podcast episode here at Option Alpha. But before we go, again, let's keep the conversation going. Please connect with me on your favorite social media platform. Let me know what questions or ideas came to mind after listening to today's show. Now, really quickly, I wanted to let you know about two things that we have going on right now that have been published recently. The first one that I wanted to draw your attention to is to Jack's trade idea of the day. So Jack, my partner and co-founder, has been doing these trade ideas of the day because he loves to use trade ideas. Eventually, like the whole purpose of trade ideas was to help solve problems that we know traders had and we know he had about just like, how do you find a trade? How do you get into a trade and how do you manage them? And so he's been doing this entire series of trade ideas of the day over on YouTube. So we'll have a link in the show notes, but you can just go over to YouTube, search trade ideas of the day from Option Alpha. You can follow along as he's been going through this process. It's been really, really insightful to go through this. It's also led to a lot of new developments on the platform for things that he's running into that other people are running into. It's been really cool. So please make sure you check that out. It gives you some ideas on how to use the new tools and also how to cope with some of the things that happen after you get into trades using automation. Second thing that you should take a look at is a new series that I just started. I don't know how long this will go because it will go as long as it needs to go, but it's a new series on pure expected value portfolio. So I am literally going to do what I've been preaching and telling people to do, which is to start by researching and doing data and doing backtesting and forward testing. And we're going to be building out some portfolios together from scratch. I don't know which ones are going to ultimately make the cut and start trading live, but I'm going to be sharing the entire journey with you guys as we go. I started doing it the other week with some VXX short call spread strategies I was looking at. This week, I start a new series on pure expected value, which means that we're trading purely on expected value outcomes, nothing else. That's the hypothesis that we're going into. And so we built out this huge portfolio of paper trading to try and test this model and this theory. And we're just going to make adjustments and changes as we go, because I ultimately want to get to the point of potentially having a portfolio or a part of my portfolio purely trading expected value outcomes. That's it. No technicals, no market indicators, no nothing. No VIX is high, Fed is meeting, none of that. Just does the math work if we just trade pure math? And that's the goal of that portfolio. So I'm going to be sharing the entire journey with you guys, good, bad, or indifferent, as I go through that process. So check it out on YouTube, the Pure Expected Value Portfolio Series. As always, I hope you guys enjoyed today's show, got at least one thing out of it that you can apply right now to help you consistently play smarter trades. And until next time, happy trading.